welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 507. My name's Jill. I'm leaving it in, Rick.
Jill's Gaymore.
Yeah, that the very same. And joining me today is Rock Kula.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jilms.
Yeah, as always. sorry, it's been a long week. don't let that put you off listening to this lovely podcast full of information, news, and reviews on mobile games. Oh, yes. So we're going to dive straight into this because we've got a lot of news and about 8-9 new releases that we need to talk about. So no time for banter. Rick, are you good?
Yes, all is well. Banter over.
Fantastic. I am also good. Let us proceed with news about Pascal's Wager 2 and the updates and New Game Plus modes coming to it. Plants vs. Zombies 3 appearing in a playable form. GDC and its collapse. Dead by Daylight appearing in the West. Dead by Daylight Mobile, that is. And upgrades to CSR Racing 2. Plus new releases including the likes of LEGO Legacy Heroes Unboxed, Knighthood, Omnom Run, Dragon Quest of the Stars, Ares Forest, and more. But first the news. Plants vs. Zombies 3. It soft launched in the Philippines, Ireland, and Romania for iOS and Android. Rick and I just had a shocking look at our own mortality by double-checking when Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out, because we thought it had been a while. 2012, that game came out. So this has been a sequel 7 years in the making. 8 years, I suppose, nearly. And what's changed? Well, I've had a little look at some of the gameplay, Rick. Mm-hmm. And it turns out we've gone 3D.
Ooh.
Because previously it's been a nice, very cutely done 2D animated game. Here it appears to be a fully 3D rendered characters who are stomping across lawns and trying to smash up sunflowers and what was it? Well, some Plants vs. Zombies. Lawnmowers, staring at it. Some zombies as well, I suppose, who's in the title. So they're now rendered in lovingly produced 3D. Also, it's gone portrait mode, isn't it?
Yeah, I have actually looked at the trailer as well. It's got portrait mode, means you can play it with one thumb instead of having to hold it with both hands.
Which, and of all the games, it's quite a good one for portrait mode, I think. Because really, it just it's always just been a square on the screen, really. You don't need the huge width to see them like creeping in from the right-hand side of the screen. It works just as well like that. And it is a game you should be able to do. It's a one-finger game anyway, really, isn't it? Because you just drag here, you go here, and that's all it is. So it fits kind of perfectly for a portrait thing. I feel like it was an original, like, OG classic for the tower defense genre, the first one. The second one came at that crux when we were all shifting to free-to-play. And I remember, because I'd just started working for PG around that time, I remember that was when people were going, hang on, they've made it free-to-play, and this has destroyed Plants vs. Zombies. And you need to, like, complete levels and then grind to earn enough stars to get to the next stage and stuff like that. I remember that discussion. Now I think it's just accepted that, of course, it will be free-to-play.
Yeah.
There are videos up at the minute of some people playing it online. We will be able to get our hands on it. We're going to assume in a month or two. That's generally the way these things play out. Possibly shorter, even.
Could even be longer. You never know. But it has been in pre-alpha since last July, June?
Yeah, so, it's been a while.
Yeah, it could actually be out in a few months.
They've given it, I think they said spring, did they?
No idea.
No specific release date. Ignore that. I think spring is for Dead by Daylight. But if you want to go and check it out, we do have download links to those versions in the App Store and Google Play in those regions. So if you are in Philippines, Ireland, or Romania, you can check it out. Or if you've got VPN access, then maybe you could get around it somehow in a way that I've never done before in my life. Anyway, we were talking last week, or Cameron was talking specifically, about Pascal's Wager and how he was quite enjoying it. This is the definitely not Dark Souls / Bloodborne alike. And it has just revealed its 2020 roadmap, which includes, for those who found it a bit tough, casual mode, which you'll apparently be able to switch difficulty on the fly, which would be quite nice. You're also going to get a new Game Plus mode, plus new story content, and I think item updates and things like that. Did you ever play this one, Rick?
I didn't. I don't have £8, or however much it costs.
That's about what it is. And it might sound like an exaggeration that you don't have £8 to your name. But remember, kids, we write for game sites. So £8 is half our paycheck.
Yay!
You will be able to get all that stuff for free if you've already got the game. And $6.99, Rick. It's a full quid cheaper.
Well, there's no excuse, is there?
No, none at all. So go and check that out if you are currently playing the game. Now, on to slightly more somber news. We were talking last week about the coronavirus and how it's impacted events. Now we've got Unity and Microsoft and Epic, I think, all pulling out of GDC.
Yep, and Sony and Facebook, probably some others. Basically, all of the big players are now pulling out of GDC, which is the biggest sort of business conference in games in America of the year, which is not good, really.
No, well, basically it's cancelled. Like, it's not cancelled, but by the time this podcast comes out, or born by next week, I mean, it's going to be cancelled.
There's no guarantee. There's no guarantee, it'll get cancelled, because there are a lot of companies who are still sort of firmly saying, we're going to go, we're still going to be there. And, you know, I think it's legitimate concern for anybody to say, I don't really want to be travelling at the moment, because it increases your chance of getting infected and that kind of thing.
I completely sympathise with it. Like, I mean, we do conferences ourselves. We do Pokémon Connects, and our next one is going to be in May. So we've got a few months between now and then, which is quite good. Hopefully there's a chance to get this vaccine sorted and, you know, start taking care of it and whatnot. But I completely sympathise with people who are, like, maybe a bit immunocompromised or whatever, not wanting to step on planes or dive into airports and stuff like that. It makes total sense.
Exactly. But I think it could still go ahead just in sort of a limited capacity, because there's a lot of like smaller companies and indies that go out there for meetings and stuff like that, and they might still want to attend because they've probably put a lot of money up front already for like flights and hotels and that kind of thing, and there's no guarantee they'll get all that money back. So they might as well go, and GDC might as well go ahead, I guess.
Or, and it might be a bit more domestic. They might like just be the Americas, like companies within the states kind of flying in. I think it's more the international airports and flights people are more concerned about.
Yeah, and it's more about like the expo. So like GDC is obviously a great place for people to like meet. And a lot of the meetings don't even happen at GDC. They happen at a few hotels across the way. So probably what we'll see is a lot of the expo space shutting down, and a lot of the money going into there not coming in, which is not a good thing. The main concern is that people stood on the expo stands are going to be there for hours and hours, meeting thousands of people a day, and you can't control like who's coming towards you and how much time you have to make sure you're staying clean and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if you can do that in like a hotel suite and you're just calling people up, you can at least sort of like limit yourself to how many people you're going to be put in front of, and make them wash their hands as they enter the room, I guess.
Yes, you could do the scolding, and everyone always has their own little alcohol wipe.
Yep.
As I've said many times before, where you shake hands and then passive aggressively reach for the cleansing gel while you're still talking to them. You disgust me. But it's also had a run-on effect for like consumers as well. So we're looking at delays in the production of iPhones due to the China factory and people suffering around there, and people getting quarantined and whatnot. You're looking at there's going to be a lack of Switch devices produced, because apparently the production of that's been affected as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, continues to be grim. Hopefully we'll get a sunny report sometime in the not too distant future. From sunny reports to death in daylight. How about that for a
what a
labored
segue.
Link?
Amazing.
So, Dead by Daylight Mobile. This is coming to iOS and Android in the West this spring. People have been playing this one online as well. I think it's been in a pre-release or a couple of different areas or something like that. We ourselves grabbed an early version of it in July, and we thought it was a bit rough. So you can actually read a full kind of write-up, early review-ish thing of the game. But that was definitely a sort of soft-launched version. I have gone in and looked today at some of the videos, and everything appears to be a lot smoother, which is a good sign. If you're not familiar with the game, this is that whole... It's effectively recreating 80s horror movies, sort of, where it's a 4v1. One person is the killer, and four people are the naive students at a camp or whatever it might be, you know. And you end up having additional characters like players Freddy, players Leatherface or Jason or whatever. And I think it was one of those ones that came out and got kind of, reviews, but has had quite a long half-life.
That and, like, Freddy? Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yes, Jason, that as well. Not Freddy.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just this weird kind of like subset of horror game where the 4v1 asymmetrical thing that's never really proven successful before in any other kind of game. But you make it like four players hugely weak and the one player super, super strong, and suddenly you have a game that people are actually like really into and will play for hours and hours and hours. It's bizarre.
And it fits perfectly with the setup of horror movies, which is lots of expendable puny people versus some super demon. And that works out ideally. Like, they've tried to make it work, because Evolve was the big one, wasn't it? The one they threw a ton of cash behind and a huge release, and then it just kind of vanished in a couple of months. And it's like, oh dear. And then I think that at that time, am I right in thinking that Lionhead was like working on one, and then that got quickly canned?
Yeah, it was Fable Legends, I think it was. That might have been the card game, I don't remember.
There was a Fable one, definitely.
Yeah, I played the beta of that, and it was actually pretty decent, but actually finding a game for it was just super difficult because no one wanted to play it.
Yeah, it just didn't work. Whereas this particular format, I think it fits this genre better than anything else, and that's maybe why it's worked so well. So we've got 15 million players they've recorded across PC and consoles for Dead by Daylight. So they're doing pretty well. They're doing all right. You'll be able to pre-register for this at the moment. So Google Play or on the game's official site. We've got the links over on pg.com. And we are expecting this one on iOS and Android in spring. Not Plants vs. Zombies 3. This one. Now, CSR Racing 2 is still going and sees no sign of slowing. We've got a whole bunch more customization options appearing. These are the Elite Customs features. So you can already customize and tinker your cars and stick nice hubcaps on it and fancy brake pads with your names on it or whatever. I don't play this game. But you'll now be able to get full control over vehicle decals. You can add numbers, crew names, your name, country flags, and more stuff as well, I'll wager. And you can also get elite parts by winning stuff in the game's PvP showdown mode. You can go and have a look at a big poster of all the different customizations you can do over on the site. So if you want to go and have a look at that, by all means, go and take a peek. And God, when did this come out? This feels like another one that was out in like 2015 or 16.
I was just looking at the article. It's like 2016 that it properly launched.
God, these games go on. My God, like the live
they're
service
built to
stuff.
Last, like a good car. Built to last.
Very nice, very nice. But it's genuinely true. It's like when you look at Plants vs. Zombies 2 has been kicking around for the past 8 years and presumably still being played. This is that reflection of games are no longer these things you download and then complete in 5 hours and then put to the side and carry on. They just go and go and go. I think that was so much of the problem. I feel like for us and for journalists in general when free-to-play appeared, because we were used to having to grab games, review them, you know, play them through, complete them, and then review them.
Yeah.
And
then forget about them and move on with your life.
Yeah. But it became the sure problem of like, well, I'm trying to review a game. We need to get a review up. But I've played for 2 hours. The game's now locked me out because apparently I don't have enough energy or gems or crystals or whatever. And what am I supposed to do now? Like, this is a ludicrous system. And really, it is the game going, stop. Stop playing. We need you to not rinse this in a day.
Yeah.
We need you to play this for 2 years constantly, a tough step at a time. And that's the model. But now I think everyone's a bit more like, yeah, well, that's what you expect. That's what games are.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've softened to it at all? Or are you more comfortable with the whole free-to-play thing in general?
Yeah, I think you sort of have to be writing about mobile games. You can't keep sort of railing against free-to-play. Because eventually you're just going to run out of things to say about it. And you can't just go into every game and go, oh, it has free-to-play mechanics, I hate this. You kind of have to go, well, it's got free-to-play mechanics, is it doing them well? Or is it, like, can I still play this game and enjoy it for the time that it allows me to play the game? Or am I despising every moment of it? Is it ramming it down my throat, that I should be paying more?
There is something to be said for like developing relationships with games over longer than a day or a weekend when you smash through it. But previously that was because either there was a huge amount of content or games had a huge amount of replayability.
Mm.
That tended to be the way. Or it was a multiplayer game where, you know, you can still play Team Fortress now if you want. It just any games just have an infinite replayability because it's just multiplayer and off you go. But it was that feeling of like artificially gating the content by saying, no, come back tomorrow and you can play another 5 minutes.
I think it's improved a lot lately. They've had years and years and years to work out how to do free-to-play well, and I think most games still are getting it right now. There are less games that I download and go, maybe not, on the gating me and that kind of thing. But I think in general it's pretty good. Although I personally have not sort of been trapped in a cycle where I've played a game for 3 or 4 years continuously, despite updates and stuff like that.
Mm.
My partner has. She's been playing Love, Nikki, Dress Up Queen for the past 3 years. Which has just added Disney dresses.
Wow.
Bit of news there.
Well, I only say wow because that's a huge license.
I know.
Like, for such a weird sounding game, you might think, well, that's a bit of niche content. No, no, they're in partnership with Disney. That's got to be making insane money.
They've got Frozen dresses, so you can get Elsa and Anna's dresses and then like Elsa's bonus dresses and this kind of stuff. And it's all gacha, or you can just buy it straight out with real money.
Mm.
But yeah, that's going to be tons of cash for them. Because that's a huge, huge, huge get.
No, it really is.
A weird, very, very niche game.
That's the bit I still struggle with these. And we've been playing a bunch. I've been playing a bunch recently. It's still the process of unlocking chests that I find a bit like, this is busy work. Like having to put chests in a queue, you know, you've got 4 slots and wait for them to tick down, or maybe you can down them. And then even just the action of opening it, and it has to go through the animation of the chest slamming down on the thing, and you tap it, and then it opens. It's like, can we just skip past this bit? Like, I get it. I know what you're trying to do and make me excited about this thing and give me the endorphin hit, but I can't be asked to sit through this every time.
Like, the first time it happens, like, oh, that's a nice animation. And then the second time it happens, like, oh, I've seen that before. And then the third time it happens, like, where's the skip animation button that most games now have?
Like, all right, I accept that this has to be here, but please, just show me the thing and get on with it. Go. Anyway, where were we? CSR2 Racing! New customizations options. Go and download. Whee! Out and about this week. We got a ton to get through, so we will start with the latest from King, they of the Candy Crush sagas, Knighthood, which is something of a left turn for them, although they have done a couple of other games other than Match 3 Puzzlers. This one is a hack and slash combat turn-based sort of RPG thing. Light, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's like the 3-on-3 battlers, except it's just you as one, but you can summon other characters to do bonus moves.
Mm.
You attack by tapping, or you can swipe up to punch, which charges another meter. But you can like chain these attacks together, but if you defeat an enemy, you can swipe left or right to attack one of the other enemies and keep the chain going. If you chain attacks together, you get more damage. And I think that's just a really neat little system. It's just one of those tiny little things that's like, ooh, actually, they've thought about this properly.
Because usually what happens if you're playing those three against three battlers is that you'll launch all your attacks, and usually it's like one action per turn per character.
Mm.
So there's no chance to kind of chain attacks between different enemies. Whereas this, it's set up when you're initially start playing it, you look at it and you go, oh, it's like a low res Infinity Blade kind of thing, isn't it? Because it's camera over the shoulder and you can only see the one enemy, and you swipe and the camera like swooshes position to see the other two enemies that are flanking. And so, all right, then. But then you tap and you have 4 actions every turn. So when you're going, as you say, you can chain the attacks together or switch between enemies, which is really nice. And instead of swapping to those default characters you summon, who are these like Norse goddish type folks, or one of them is, and the other one's an archer at the beginning. They don't have their own turns. It's just, as you say, they charge up and then they do crazy elemental attacks and whatnot. It's got quite nice lo-fi look. You're immediately starting to, once you get a few levels in, they chuck new swords at you and weapons and upgrades. So you'll be stopping at villages and leveling up your person and then engaging in the battles. I liked it because it's a slightly different presentation of those 3v3 things. It took me a little while to go, oh, that's what this is. It's just one of those. But presented and arranged slightly differently, a little bit more around gestures and you not just pressing the one attack in the corner of the screen and then sitting back.
Yeah, I feel like they could have done a bit more with the combat, but because I feel like the chaining thing, it would have been even nicer if there was like a timing to the chains, but it's just you hit the button, you do an attack, and then it sort of freezes time and you can choose what your next attack's going to be.
Yeah.
And that works fine for this game, but like I felt it would have been nicer if it was like, oh, if I hit it at this time, I get an extra like 10% damage or something like that. That would have been cool. But as it is, I think it works really nicely. And as you say, like I really love the art style. It's got that, it's kind of cartoony, but a bit blocky as well. And it's bright and colourful, but has an edge to it. Which is one of the worst sentences I've ever said in my life.
Well, you're not wrong. It's that slightly cel-shaded thing. But it's very, like, the animation's very, like, perky and quick and, I guess, very, like, reactive. They're not these sort of slow, sluggish characters. And they've got a bunch of character to them. Like, my person who I've built, my lassie, pulls lots of funny faces. And it's actually, like, this is surprisingly engaging. I'm sort of impressed. 19 months in early access, this one.
Yeah.
So I guess you'd hope it would be refined and sorted by now. But like, so I've only played about 45 minutes of it, but it's a promising start for this kind of thing. And it does feel different enough to warrant a look in amongst the avalanche of like fairly standard 3v3 JRPG sort of things.
Mm.
Speaking of which, LEGO Legacy Heroes Unboxed.
I knew you were going to segue into this.
Well, this is the most that I've played for a while. Mm. As in, like, if you've ever played, I don't know, like Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes or any of those games, Marvel Alliance, blah, blah, blah. It's that. It's got LEGO in it. On the upside, you get a lot of those nice, fun LEGO animations. I particularly like one of the characters you've got on your side is they would be like the Bard if you were playing as like a medieval RPG. But in this one, he's like the Hiker. But his healing power, two actions you can choose from per turn, just one of each. And his healing is, like, he busts out a campfire, pulls out a guitar and starts jumping around it. And the animation of him singing his little song to heal everyone is very good, so fair play. And when you are attacking enemies, and obviously you get to smash them to bits because they're minifigs, so they literally shatter, that's always quite nice. So that stuff is good. The rest of it is so, I've played this a million times already. So I was just like...
I'm gonna try a segue.
Oh really?
Yeah. You know, other game you've been playing a million times already, but there's a new one of it.
What's that, Rick?
Om Nom Run.
Oh,
is that what it's called?
It is called that. They got yes. Three lane autorunner all over my beautiful Cut the Rope. Savages. I was disgusted to discover that. Yes.
It's not great, is it?
No.
It's a traditional three-lane autorunner in the vein you've seen a million times that Subway Surfers is still doing, and probably much better than this.
Yeah.
But I think the worst part of it is, so you've got you do the whole swiping left and right, you're picking up coins, you need to reach certain distances, you have missions to do per thing. But once you've hit the third star of that mission, it just stops. And you get thrown back to the main menu, and you have to start a new whole new run again.
Carry on.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the whole point of these runners, is they're supposed to be endless. Yeah. In a sense. But this is just like, you just, I've reached 800 meters, now I have to stop and start again, and this time I'm reaching 1500 meters, and okay, now I have to stop, and now I have to pick up certain items, but once I've got all of those, that's it. There's just, the level is completely over. And it's just, it's just this constant stop-start, and it's like, that's not how endless runners work. I should stop when I'm not good enough to continue.
Totally. It feels like a punishment rather than a victory. It's a very weird thing. So I thought, like, oh, I've hit something. Like, I didn't think I hit that car, but I guess I hit that car. Mm. But no, I had won. And I was like, oh, like, you just let me keep going, surely. And then you tell me how many missions I've completed once I mess it up.
Yeah.
I would have thought. Like, that's what tends to be the way. So it felt like weirdly, I didn't feel satisfied. I felt like, oh, I've failed. Oh, no, I won. What? Mm. Weird. I'm obviously annoyed just because I think Cut the Rope is an all-time classic game, and it is all-time classic because it was a genuinely interesting, novel, unique little physics puzzler concept. So seeing the mascot slapped into a fairly like copy-paste auto-runner is just like, well, we've missed the point here, lads. But I think this is part of a wider thing, because I think there's a big old Om Nom extended universe now with several cartoons and characters and storylines. I mean, this is a game that's spinning off of that. So I think it's probably targeting an audience who maybe haven't even played the original Cut the Rope.
Mm.
I don't know. Either way, it's a bit of a shrug. It's free to play. I should point out that the games I've just mentioned so far, Knighthood, LEGO Legacy, and Om Nom's Run, are all free to play. So you can download those at the minute if you want to. What else is on our big old list of things? Dragon Quest of the Stars. Have you seen this?
I have. I know nothing about it, but it looks like it could be something that takes off.
I don't know.
No?
It's a... So Dragon Quest, one of the biggest JRPG sagas kicking around, obviously, along with Final Fantasy and the rest of it. It's going very, very, very light with it. So you're playing in portrait. You wash up on a shore of a thing. You've got the plot of Central Amnesia. You get jumped on by a big pink squirrel who tells you he's going to guide you through the world. and then you go to the next village. The overworld map looks like a classic JRPG overworld, but you can't move anywhere. You just like tap on the village you want to go to,
right.
And then you see your character walking, and then you'll get into some random encounters along the way. When it gets to the random encounter combat, you're not really playing it. It's auto-playing.
Huh.
What you are doing is watching as it auto-plays, and then gradually special attacks will power up at the bottom of the screen. And then you tap. Yeah. And so you can tap individually, or you can wait till they all power up and then chain your character's attacks, super attacks together. The presentation's weird.
From a business perspective... From thinking about like the kind of hardcore gamer that's going to spend the rest of their life playing that, that kind of sounds like it would work.
Yeah, maybe. It might just be that I'm not into these like auto playing RPGs too much. I also think that the art style is weird. It looks like it's been strangely optimized for the device, where everything looks slightly blurry, including the text. They haven't gone full modernization with it, if you know what I mean. It does still look a little bit in the like. Old-fashioned, a bit more than 16-bit. There's more 3D going on in that, but it still looks quite old school, which again, it fits with the content and the franchise. But it doesn't look great on mobile. The pop-ups in the menus appear in strange places. It all feels a little bit awkward. I don't feel like it's been brilliantly optimized. Maybe the combat thing just isn't suited to me, and it'll take off for people who like this kind of more idle take on the franchise, but I wasn't overwhelmed.
Fair enough.
Free to play again, I believe, Google Play and the App Store at the minute. Yes, it is. It's got 4 stars on Google Play, which means nothing, because every game does. But take that as you will. You've played Dish Life the game.
Yes.
What's this?
I'm not entirely sure, and I've played it. So it's kind of like it's a management idle game, sort of, but you're doing stem cell research, and it's lightly educational as well as being like... So you create your character, and the character creation is really cool because there's all sorts of weird and wacky hairstyles and stuff. You can set your gender to be like he, she, or they, which I think is really interesting. It's nice to have those options.
Yeah, no, because those options weren't present in the 3 I played today.
Yeah.
Like, they don't let you do that in Knighthood, for example.
No. And then you're kind of thrown into this weird sort of 2D, 2.5D paper mache world almost. The main goal is to keep your stems happy, your stem cells. They're in this little petri dish and they've got a sad face, so you've got to give them some food, and then they get happy and they start multiplying and growing. And then you can like freeze them so you can use them for an experiment later, or you can experiment on them now, or this kind of thing. And then you have to like make food for them, which takes time, and you have to take on new research projects, which are basically your objectives for the game. And then at one point you get to unlock the tea room so you can go have a brew, and that's how you restore your energy. And it's just, it's kind of like this weird, I don't know, it's charming in a very weird, unknowable way.
It sounds like stem cell Tamagotchis.
Kind of, yeah. But like with all sorts of different layers added on top of that, because you're supposed to like also, I think there's a like a relationship building element with your other people who work in the lab. Although I didn't get that far, okay. So I might just be making that up. But you move around by dragging and dropping your character into the different rooms and onto different tables and stuff. But there's also there's a lot of menus, and it's very confusing to start off with. I'm sure the more I played it, the more I'd sort of get used to it and settle in and that kind of thing. But I think it's really interesting, and it is free to play, so I recommend... I mean, the art style alone is probably worth downloading just to take a look at it.
It's nice. It's almost not quite papercraft, but it's got a little bit of that vibe going on in it. Even the trailer's confusing. I'm just watching it, they're going, I don't know what any of this means.
But then it'll start, like, quizzing you on, like, oh, how much do you know about stem cells? It's like, nothing. Why are you asking me these questions? Like, how much attention have you been paying? Did the stem cells contain DNA? I don't know. Probably.
I just got why it's called Dish Life now, because it's a petri dish.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm about 5 minutes behind in terms of my working out what the hell this game is. Yeah, that's a weird one. And you're saying that's free to play as well?
Yep. So, it looks like it should be a premium game, but it isn't.
It does. Weird. All right, okay, fantastic. Well, Dish Life, the game, that's out right now for free. What else have we got? Oh, Eri's Forest. You see this thing?
I have no idea what this is.
So, this is tower defense through a Japanese eco-warrior slant, I guess.
Okay.
Which sounds odd, but usually these things, tower defenses, you've either got plants versus zombies, or you've got a lot of I guess, sci-fi based ones. Mm. Anomaly series is obviously a very popular version of that. This one, it's set up a tree, specifically on the side of a tree. And there is a life force Gaia energy glow orb at the top of the tree. And there are little paths that are tracking up from the base of the tree to the top, glowing away. And they are the paths that these little ants and other insects will take. And there are glowing spots around the paths. And those are the points at which you can deposit your mushrooms. And mushrooms are the towers. And they fire out little kind of energy plasma bolts like mushrooms do. But there are other variations of the mushrooms. One of them will fire like different types of bolts. One of them will slow your guys down by releasing this kind of orange goo sap stuff. Takes a while to splurge out the side of it. And then you do what you do in a tower defense game. You grow them, you tap them, you upgrade them, you get rid of them if you don't want them, unlocking more different towers as you go. And then as you start progressing through the game, the ants start taking numerous paths. Suddenly another path will shoot up the side of the tree and you've got to worry about that. And then they'll start wrapping round the tree. So you can kind of pan around. This is all in 3D, by the way. You can pan and swipe around the tree. And you have to start worrying about there's like a more of a 180 angle of it. And then it starts becoming a bit more 360 later, I think, though I didn't get that far. The other little wrinkle is that you've got a character, I guess Eri herself, who is floating around. And you can place her near the towers that you want to be like supercharged. And she has lanterns that orbit her. And you get different types of lanterns, and each of those have different types of powers, and one's a water lantern and gives you certain powers and things like that. So slightly unusual, but like when you take a step back, it's just a tower defense game. But A, it's beautiful.
Mm.
Really incredibly pretty. Like the side of the tree is a remarkable texture. It looks to me like they've done some 3D scanning or something. The side of the tree is almost like photoreal. And everything kind of glows. Everything you're looking at, all the paths that the ants will follow glows. The actual insects themselves glow. And there is this sort of, there's this feeling of like love for nature coming out of it. Because even though these mushrooms are zapping ants and stuff, the ants fall down. And they make a point of showing you at the beginning of the game that like the ant lands, kind of shakes its head. And its eyes go from red to normal and then it scampers off. And Eri's like, oh, it turns out that they were hypnotized under some weird spell. But when you destroy them, that breaks the spell and they're fine. And they go and have a nice day.
That sounds really lovely. I might have to play this.
Well, you get the option at the beginning of the game as well. You choose the language, the voice acting language and the subtitle language. So I put it in Japanese voice acting. So it's quite good. I like tower defense games. And I think this is a really interesting little version. I haven't checked the price. I'm going to be surprised if it's free. Oh, my word, it's free.
What?
Maybe it's the unlocks or energy. Maybe that's the way they do it. But I didn't notice anything. Right. Okay, in that case, everyone check this out. This is really cool. This is a weird little pretty anomaly that I haven't seen much of. So Eri, E-R-I apostrophe S, Eri's Forest. Studio Quinco, is it? What else have they done? This is it. All right. This is the first thing from them. A strong first launch. Like it. Go check that out. What else is there? I feel like you played something else.
There was the new Apple Arcade game.
Oh, yes. What's that all about?
I can't remember. I don't remember what it's called. It's like a Crossy Road Castle.
There you go. Crossy Castle. It is.
Crossy... Oh, no, it's Crossy Road Castle.
Oh, it's actually a spin-off from Crossy Road?
Yes.
Oh, all right. I thought it was just like, you know, a Crossy Castle, inverted commas.
No, it takes all your much-beloved characters from Crossy Road, like the chicken and the duck... and puts them in a like it's like a endless tower climbing platformer with like randomized room placements. So you start at the bottom of the tower and it's easy rooms, and then you jump through the levels and it's just basic like left and right on the left and right of the screen. So it's played in portrait mode, so the controls can be a little bit fiddly, but it's like left and right buttons and then an up button to jump, and that's it. And you're just jumping on enemies, collecting coins, collecting a premium T-shaped thing, which I don't know how to describe, really. I didn't get very far in it. I didn't play it for very long, if I'm completely honest. But on the 30th level, it took me into a boss fight against a giant eagle, which is pretty cool. And you can play with up to 4 people.
Okay.
I guess everyone has to be on their own device.
I was going to say, like, simultaneously. It does the thing where, because it's a side-scrolling, you know, platform, it's like single screen, like a bubble bobble or something like that. But when you get to the edge of the door, it like wraps around the tower, like Fez.
Yes, it's got that kind of Fez like element to it. In terms of gameplay, I feel like it's been done better elsewhere.
Yeah.
It's very similar to a lot of the kind of 2D platformers that you'll have played before.
Mm.
And I don't think it has different little puzzle mechanics and stuff. So you've got to, like, there's clouds that you jump on top of, and when you jump on that, it leaves a rainbow stream, and then the rainbow stream carries you up. So you've got to time those. It's got, like, okay, block switches that some of them are timed and some of them aren't. So you've got to pay close attention to which ones are and aren't. There's spikes to avoid, and it's one hit kills, and you've got 3 lives. And if you lose them, you're kicked out of the tower entirely.
Okay.
I mean, it's all fairly basic stuff, and I think they're kind of banking on the fact that, oh, it's Crossy Road, it's got all your favourite Crossy Road characters, and the capsule machine that you had in Crossy Road, that you know, you use the coins that you collect to win new characters. It's like, but nobody cared about the characters in Crossy Road. Like, I'm speaking for myself here. I don't remember many people who were just like, oh yeah, I really love the chicken of Crossy Road, that's my favourite character, or anything like that. Like, Crossy Road was more just like it was a game platform almost, because it turned into like Disney Crossy Road and in a way Pac-Man 256. The game was the hook rather than the characters, and this sort of takes the characters, puts them in a completely different setting, and it doesn't really gel very well. It could have been anything in the world and it would have been the same game. It doesn't add anything by being Crossy Road, so it's just a weird shift in direction. It's on Apple Arcade, so you'll get it anyway if you've got the subscription. And I think if you already have Apple Arcade, definitely download it and give it a go. I don't think this is a game that's going to encourage people to get Apple Arcade. I don't think anyone was sat around thinking, "Ooh, I wonder when the next Crossy Road's going to come out. I hope they do something drastically new with it." Like, it's just a very weird shift in direction. I don't know where it's come from or what they were thinking, really.
I guess this is a hipster whale. That's them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Diversifying their portfolio, I believe is what you call it. Same thing as this Omnom run. It's just like, take known franchise, insert into every genre bit by bit and see what sticks. Angry Birds being the prime example of, like, they've done every genre now.
Yeah, but like with Angry Birds, you had like the Red Birds and the Yellow Birds, and they all did different things. And Omnom from the Cut the Rope, he, like, they tried to make him like an actual character. The animations, like you mentioned before, the Crossy Road stuff, like, there's no difference in the characters, so there was no like personalities or anything like that. It's just a chicken and a duck and a horse and that kind of thing. So to sort of like out of nowhere try and bring these characters into a different world, it feels very, very odd. Especially given how old, like, Crossy Road is, because that's probably, like, 8 or 10 years old by this point. I don't know off the top of my head. So, yeah, it's just an odd combination. I think the game itself is fine. I think if you've got Apple Arcade, download it. I don't know if it's going to be, like, if anyone's going to remember it in a few weeks, to be honest.
No, I know what you mean. It's just occurred to me now that playing that Omnom game, they didn't even change the coins to candy. It's just coins. Like, that's the bare minimum franchise tie-in thing, isn't it? Like, why aren't the coins candies that Omnom eats? That was the whole point of Cut the Rope. It's pathetic.
It's okay. It's okay. Omnom Run.
It's not okay, Rick.
We'll stop to cease to exist before.
They're not
long.
Even trying anymore. This is rubbish. Okay. All right. I think that's everything from this week. If that's not enough to get on with, I don't know what is. But do come back next week and join us for more mobile gaming news and reviews. Thank you, Rick, for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
And we will be back again with more chat next week. So go play something cool and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.